When you can take the pebble from my hand, it will be time for you to leave.
Ninja, the tea party's over.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Asian Action Cast. My name is Sam and joining me tonight we have Mikey.
Hello.
And Nathan.
Hi.
We are a podcast about Asian and Hong Kong action cinema where we watch the best and the worst. We review, recap, revamp, and we talk about it for your listening pleasure. So we are doing tonight a 1978 film called Crippled Avenger. It's actually got a few alternative titles. It's a Shaw Brothers film, and it has been marketed as Return of the Deadly Venoms, Return of the Venom Mob. It stars, well, five of the Deadly Venoms from the Deadly Venoms film by Shaw Brothers, directed by Chang Che. This is actually directed by Chang Che as well. And it's... yeah, it was a film that we saw on Amazon, which is something that I think we all had access to. So
yeah, as you can probably tell, we're doing this online again.
Virtual. Which is nice. It's easy. It's convenient.
Yeah. The energy's down, but sometimes you just got to do it.
It's relaxed. I like to think of it as relaxed and chill, you know? I
mean, people are relaxed fit pants.
Yeah. You know, people are listening to us when they're in their grotto or their spa, perhaps. And... they're just enjoying themselves, you know, just listening to us. It's nice, easy, relaxing listening. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not surprised anymore, but Amazon martial arts films are usually dubbed.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to fix that either.
No, there is no. There's no...
oh, okay.
There's no audio.
You didn't have the other track. Now, some of the things are just like American licensed stuff where they just only have... a lot of American ones only release ever with like the dubbed track on over them. They don't release the original language.
Does anyone feel this way about Amazon Prime a lot of the time? Like Amazon Video, whatever the fuck it's called. Like it's kind of like the red dot.
Well, yeah, because
of the services, it's kind of like you go to the movie section in like a red dot or like at a 7-Eleven or something. They've got like 15 movies. You've never heard of any of them.
Yeah.
Kind of like, and if you have heard of them, they're like a weird bootleg copy.
Well, just there's so much advertising and pay-per-view type stuff. But I suspect it's because it's more of a tack-on, right? Like you're really paying for the Amazon
subscription.
Yeah, that's right, free shipping. You know, like they've got some good shows like The Boys and that, but it does seem like a bit like a tacked-on kind of perk.
It's one of those things where they...
Didn't they just do the John Wick TV show?
Yeah, the Continental. Yeah. But they go around buying like a whole bunch of rights to things to throw them on there to like add content to the thing. The thing with Amazon is it doesn't seem to drop off as much. Like some of the other ones, you know, they go through that
churn where
they drop things on. But Amazon sort of kept whatever they've got on there, which is a plus. And they've got like a lot of Asian action films, but it is a lot of the American version of the said Asian action movies, which isn't always the greatest, especially when there's no language options. It's just pure dubbed. Bringing
me back
to my VHS days.
I saw that they had my favorite American Ninja movie.
Yeah,
I found it when I was looking at for this morning.
Yep.
Which one's your favorite?
My favorite is American Ninja 2, where they're all color coded ninjas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're brainwashed like Marines, and they're all color coded. I love it.
Good old Michael Dudikoff.
Yeah.
You should always color code ninjas, and then you know whether they're snow ninjas or if they're fire ninjas.
Or which one, you know, the one with the sash is always the one who's like the different colored sash is the high ranking one.
I will say that if we're going to watch a film, most of our listeners, funnily enough, statistics wise, the Asian Action Cast has the biggest proponent of viewers from the US. So if we're doing the US distribution copy, it's probably the one that most of our listeners are actually going to be familiar with. It's probably missing like 10 minutes or something like that, but it's something that they'll probably know and be familiar with in terms of the voices and the actors and stuff like that. So,
all right. So shall we get into this excellent, excellent, bizarre film?
Yes, absolutely. I thought I'd rattle off, I'd do a Scott here and actually rattle off some of the actors that are in it that you probably know if you're familiar with the Deadly Venoms or if you watch any of the Shaw Brothers films. So just quickly, we've got Philip Coe, who plays, well, it'll come out in the plot, but essentially the Deadly Venoms are not Chan Kwan Tai, he was in it. It was Lo Mang, who, as Rachel described, has very big nostrils and is always impatient and has his shirt off, which is exactly what he does here. We've got Philip Kwok, who plays a blind salesman. We've got Chang Sheng, who actually plays a swordsman, heroic swordsman in this. He's one of the Venoms as well. And we've also got Lu
got
Deng.
Dick Wei, right? Dick Wei was it.
Yes, he is actually unofficially a Venom. Did you know that?
I did not know that he was unofficially a Venom.
He was in Deadly Venoms. He played one of the Venoms, but not one of the actual animal Venoms. He played a non-distinct, nondescript.
Just Venom. A Venom.
Yeah, just a Venom, but not actually an
Venom before the googly eyes.
Yeah. And that's the first thing I noticed in this film when Dick Wei showed up on the scene. I was just like, damn, this movie's going to be good.
He doesn't last long.
No, he doesn't last long, but this is before his star rose, before Dick rose to fame and prominence. But before we get into the proper story, do we want to do a quick, if you were going to describe this film for people that might not be aware of it, how would you sell it? What would the sell or the pitch be?
I know how I wouldn't sell it.
Yeah, all right, go.
No, they commit a horrible crime in this film. They do a full Tropic Thunder.
Yes.
I'm going to go with, when the one-armed swordsman's not enough, you need the crippled Avengers to take on whoever. Because basically every single one of this cast has one type of cripple, and they overcome it to beat your ass.
It's
do you want to see some really buff dudes hold hands a lot?
He does have a lot in this film.
He does, and I just want to say, I can't read kanji, but I'm pretty certain that they're not drawing kanji on his freaking hand. They just go tap 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 tap.
Oh, they are. Yeah. I think my pitch would be: look, don't let disabilities get you down. You can do anything you want,
unless you're suffering from mental disability.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yes, if you're suffering from mental disability, then you're probably going to get killed by a guy with mechanical arms.
Yeah. Were you with me? Did you want the arms to do more than what they did? I wanted a freaking laser.
They did everything that they showed at the beginning, like Chekhov's arms. They extended, they shot darts. Because I was waiting the whole film for him to use these mechanical arms, but...
Yes.
It wasn't until the very end. So, yeah. I guess as anyone listening who hasn't seen this film can tell, this film is about people that get some kind of disabilities. Obviously, it's called The Crippled Avengers, so it's something that is going to be a big thing.
When we say they get some disabilities, I think that the main evil character inflicts these...
I love how he's like... They're ironic punishments.
Yes, they do like it, don't they?
It's like, oh, your feet walked you clumsily into me. I'm gonna remove your legs. Or you looked at me funny. I'll take your eyes. I'm in for ironic punishments.
Yeah, you know, that is the worst kind. That's one of my fears: is to be punished or die ironically. Because it's insult to injury, isn't it? Something's happened. It's like, oh, that's forever will remind me of that one time I fucked up where I stepped into someone.
Yes, exactly. Like,
and he's all like, at least they didn't kill you. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, no, but he essentially does kill them because then he says you can't buy anything from the blacksmith store.
Well, yeah,
so you're going to starve to death.
He's destroying them. So I'll open with, I didn't understand that this guy, so Chan Kwan Tai plays Dao Tian Du, and he is, he's called the Black Tiger, or he's renowned for his tiger style. But Dick Wei and a couple of guys go to his house to teach him a lesson, essentially.
Yes.
And they are going to fuck up his wife and his kid. But then they're good guys, I guess. So they say, well, we don't kill women and children. We'll just chop their arms and legs off.
Well, I was like, that actually got me for a minute, because I was like, oh, they're just saying it, and then the good guy will step in before they did it. But no, they're like, okay, then, slash, and just go right into it. I was like, wow.
I was so surprised that they actually showed. So they just slashed the mum's legs off, and they grab the kid's arms, hold it out front, and then they chop his arms off. And immediately I'm thinking, well, that kid's got to be the crippled Avenger, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too, yeah.
Because his arms chopped off, he's obviously not very happy. And then Chan Kwan Tai shows up late, and he kills those guys.
He kills all three of them
in like one move each.
Yeah, because like he's super powerful.
Yeah,
But the wife has died, presumably from blood loss.
Yeah, man, she got both of her legs cut off.
Yeah,
like above the knee,
femoral arteries and shit. Yeah,
yeah, and they don't scrimp on the detail either. They show like a wide shot of the wife with her legs separated. And, you know, blood where her knees are.
You think, though, having a disabled child, like, I understand getting revenge on, like, the kids, like, the tiger's kids. Well, in a minute, he gets his boy to kill their kid or cripple their kids, and that's fine. But you'd think after that, you'd be kind of, like, empathetic to people with disabilities. But he's just like, nah, I'm going to make everybody have a disability. In a land with one eye, I will be with no eyes, I will be king with one.
Yeah, but he also got those mechanical arms. Maybe that's made him kind of like...
I'm not the kid, more the dad. I thought the dad. I thought both of them would probably be a bit more like generous or empathetic, but no, it turned him into crazy people.
Unless he was crazy the whole time. Like
the master for the other guy that they meet later on says he was a hero once.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, he seems like a cool dude, and understandably, he'd be upset if he found his kid with no arms, right?
Yeah. So,
and he says, oh, you know, I'll make you metal arms, and then I'll teach you martial arts. And the kid was pretty plucky. He goes, oh, you know, mum's died. I wasn't able to save her, right?
But I didn't cry.
Yeah, he didn't cry about it. He was sweating because he had his arms chopped off. I'd be sweating too.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just in shock, man.
Yeah. And then there's, I think there's a time lapse and then a montage of him learning with his mechanical arms. They look like, what do they look like? Plate mail gloves, I guess.
I was thinking like a suit of armor kind of thing, if you know what I mean. Like obviously.
Actually, I'd go more scale mail, actually.
Yeah.
They've got interlocking bits. They go over the top of each other.
Yeah.
And they're pretty cool. I mean, they let him shoot darts. And they extend. I'm not sure
just
what.
Just very slightly. They extend very, very slightly.
They give him an extra, maybe an extra arm's length. They give him a little bit of extra.
It's not robot legs from the Battle Wizard.
No. But I don't think they give him that much of an advantage. But okay.
You know what though, that's one thing that could have made it better with the other cripple when like the blacksmith was making his legs. If they had been chicken legs, I would have went masterpiece. Put some chicken legs on there, done it.
They set up the fact that Chan Kwan Tai and his son, the crippled man, they are dicks. They walk around like they own the place.
They do own the place, essentially.
Well, they do. And anybody that gives them any kind of either real or perceived slights, like he cripples them. He essentially goes and just fucks them up, right? And he's wearing this, I don't know, he's wearing this open-chested shirt from his shoulders down to his waist. He's not that buff. Like, Lo Mang is buff. This guy's not that buff.
Can I add, we've seen some 70s movies in our time, but this is totally 70s.
This is very 70s.
Dress and hair, man. It's so 70s all over.
Well, that's why it blows me away, though, when, like, you know, they got all exposed chests, right? Mm. But it's really only the kicking guy that has a hairy chest.
Yeah, everyone else is waxed like
crazy. Well, Asians are not known for their hirsuteness.
That's why I was even more impressive. I was like, what?
That guy's rocking it.
He is. And he's the one that's doing all the kicking and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, he's been eating his Wheaties. He's got a hairy chest.
He doesn't cut the What crusts off is his bread? Jesus Christ. That took so long to come out, man.
Oh, my God. That was well worth the joke.
No, it wasn't. I apologize. I should have bailed on it.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm glad you stuck with it. I'm glad. That's persistence. You're like the crippled Avenger.
Oh, you can't fix my problem. You can't overcome my difficulties.
Ooh. Yeah, you get iron punchlines is what you get. Iron punchlines. But I mean, like, what I do enjoy, though, is the way these guys get crippled. Because you're right, they do get it in an ironic circumstance. Like the guy that, the blacksmith, who's Lo Mang, he has a big mouth, right? He's always talking his mouth off and going, oh, you know, you guys are so full of shit, walking around like you own the place. And they let him get away the first time, right? But then they find where he works and then they decide, nah, you come to our place and we'll fuck you up.
And why did he go, though? I don't understand why he went.
Well, this is the thing, because he's so fucking arrogant. He thinks that he can take these guys on.
He's gone, I'm not scared of you.
But he doesn't even know Kung Fu at this point.
That's true. Well, he does have a hammer.
He did have a hammer.
Yeah, he is buff. Maybe he thinks it's just going to be a shirt off. Shirt off contest.
Yeah, I'm already halfway there. I got my vest open. But yeah, it didn't work out well for him. I thought his crippling was probably the most
lame,
benign. You know, it didn't. I mean, he didn't lose a limb. He got fed some like poison that made him dumb, so he couldn't speak.
Yeah, we call that mute now.
Yeah. Oh, mute. Is that right? Is that
yeah? They called
correct?
It dumb on the dib. The dib.
Yeah.
Dub.
You're a
the
Kiwi. Dub.
Yeah. They called it making him dumb, and I was like, okay, where are we going with this? I
deaf think and dumb?
It's just meant to, like, take his vocal cords or something. So he could,
yeah, but then they're like, nah, fuck it, let's make him deaf too. Whack!
Yeah, in the ears. And then he's deaf and he was mute, which I guess would be kind of sucky, wouldn't it?
It'd be terrible.
Yeah. I mean,
imagine
it's a genuine disability.
We couldn't do this podcast.
No, we couldn't do this podcast, could we?
No,
that's right.
No, it'd be sign language podcast. Did they have sign language back in the 70s? Surely, though.
Yeah.
I guess it's harder to learn than martial arts. So Lo Mang is mute and he's deaf. And then you've got, who's the other guy? Chang Sheng plays Wang Yi. He's a heroic swordsman. Actually, we'll introduce the other guys first because his story comes after.
The last one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Sun Qian, who is just a random passerby who accidentally bumps into Chan Quan Tai's kid. That's it. He just accidentally.
And then cut his fucking legs off.
Yeah, that's right. He's like, oh, you should watch where you're going. And the guy's like, oh, I'm sorry. And he's like,
he apologizes.
I'll teach you. And he fucking just chops his legs off. Actually, no, it wasn't the men.
I thought he said, you should be apologizing to me. You should have seen me coming kind of thing. So he did apologize and then he turned it around on him.
Oh, he gave some lip?
Yeah, gave some lip. Not that I'm defending chopping his legs off or anything as a slight, but it was kind of like each of them set up that they gave them a little bit of lip, not that it deserved what they got in return.
Yeah, it was disproportionate. Exactly. I mean, yeah, of course, chopping someone's legs off or bumping into you is disproportionate.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, so his legs get chopped off and he's got his stumps wrapped up and the kids are making fun of him because he's a cripple. Because, you know, kids didn't have much entertainment back then. So.
No. Mm. Kids are terrible. In every generation, kids are terrible.
That's why they learn and grow up. So he's one of the crippled Avengers. Then you've got Philip Kwok, who is a salesman. He's like a wandering salesman.
A hawker.
What was his infraction?
He looked at him, I think.
Oh, you looked at him. That's it.
I think he gave him some side eye or something.
Yeah, right. And then so
he just poked his eyes out.
Yeah, Dao Cheng is the kid. Feng Lu is the venom that plays him. So Dao Cheng goes over and he says, this was pretty funny though, because the guy was just like, I've got no hands, but you've got no eyes, so we're even. And he's like, what? I've got eyes.
I can see.
Spoke too soon.
Damn.
That was funny. I'm making
both his thumbs into his eyes.
Yeah. And then he's rolling around on the ground because he didn't poke his eyes out. He was
his eyes are fine later on. They look fine.
Yeah. He's just, you know, blinded, I guess.
3 years later.
And then so the final guy is, we'll come back to Changsheng, who is a wandering swordsman. He hears about these poor guys who have been crippled by this this evil bad guy, and he decides that he's going to be righteous and go and avenge them by, I think that's a bit arrogant, by himself, goes to the compound and basically challenges the whole place, right?
Yes.
He's pretty good, though. He's pretty good.
He was good enough for the two lackeys. He just couldn't take the boss and the son.
Yeah, so... Well, the they've got like a, what's he, like a maitre d' or something? He kind of
runs the place.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got, what's the weapon that he's got?
Ball and chain,
yeah.
Oh, it's just a ball and chain.
That's what he calls it.
Yeah, okay. And Mace, you know, he's pretty good.
Morningstar, I don't know. Let's just call it ball and chain.
This is probably a good time to mention that the choreography and the martial arts is very good in this.
It's interesting a lot of the time, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's good. Sometimes you can really see that they're not hitting each other.
Yeah.
I
did feel that it got better as the movie went on. Like, the final fight scenes are much crisper and well choreographed compared to the early ones, where it was, yeah, clear. And even the sound effects were like, you know, that fraction of a second off, like they hit the staff on the ground and then it's like, bang. You're like, oh, there's a bit of a delay there. And it wasn't the dub, because obviously that's the soundtrack in it, I assume. And they've just added the voices in between those bits. So, I mean, it could be the editing, who knows. But, yeah, all the fist throwing and even the stab, like there's a point where those three villains at the front come up and kill all the guards and stuff. And you can clearly see that the sword stabbing through him is not even going through his middle mass. No. Under his arm kind of job and stuff, but as you get on, and even I think it's once they start doing like their individual training kind of thing, it starts to pick up a little bit in the
time. The training montages were good.
Yeah I think the martial arts is really good in a Cirque du Soleil kind of way, like I wouldn't watch this to get that visceral, oh man, these people are beating the fuck out of each other. It's kind of well choreographed in that it's pretty to watch, you know, like they're bouncy on their feet. They're doing lots of flips, jumping and dodging and just, you know, like they're doing lots of blocks and stuff. So it's nice.
It looked good on a stage. It would look good like watching it on a stage, like if it was a performance.
That was what I was like looking at it, watching it going, this just feels like I'm watching Chinese acrobats.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I thought.
Lots of tumbling.
Yeah. Especially when they're doing the bit with these like metal hoops and they're jumping through it and stuff, and I'm going, this is just like I've seen Chinese acrobats on a stage and I'm just watching that essentially. I thought it was very formulaic as well, like the whole plot and going to this bit and you're like, yeah, now they're going to get trained in their things.
Yeah, but they throw that whole haymaker where they make that guy really, really like disabled.
Oh my god.
That
really blew me away though, because I was like, I'd never seen this before. And they caught the guy, right? And he's pretty righteous. He's like, nothing you're going to do is going to break me, right? You could kill me, you could torture me, whatever, but you're not going to break me. And
it did kind of like make you guess though, didn't it? Going, okay, you've done the eyes, you've done the legs, you've done the, you know, the ears, and if you count the boy at the start, you've done the arms. So what kind of injury we're going to inflict now?
Head wound.
Did you guess? Did you guess that were going to do
As soon as I saw it, I knew what they were going to do.
But, oh, really? Yeah, I was thinking they were going to take his fingers or something.
No, I thought that was totally... Yeah, I got it pretty quick.
I got the crushing skull, but I didn't
I don't understand how you do that and not kill someone, though.
Yeah.
I was expecting his brain to come out his nose or something.
Well, that's it, because, I mean, realistically, that's not going to do what they're showing is going to do. Even if they did it lightly, you're going to get kind of Down syndrome.
It's just going to crush your skull, isn't it? Like, it's not going to cause mental retardation or anything.
Depends
on what part. I mean, to describe it, it's kind of like a loose vice that they put around your skull and then they twist it, right?
Yeah.
Tighten it up.
I can understand that, like, obviously not at this time, in this time period, but they could, like, go in there and, like, with an ice pick and fuck up your, like, they, you know, they could do a lobotomize him. Yeah, they could lobotomize him. But and that would have made at least a little bit more sense than this. But this thing looks like it would actually just kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You'd have bleeding on the brain hemorrhage or something, and you'd be dead.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work for the story.
Instead, what you end up with is something incredibly problematic.
Oh, look, I think for the time, 1978, yes, it is over the top. But there's worse films. There's worse portrayals, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there definitely are. There definitely are. I couldn't stop thinking about Tropic Thunder, though. I couldn't stop thinking about it.
You're not wrong.
The whole time I was watching it.
You never go full retard. Yeah.
That's it. Classic quote from Tropic Thunder. I thought, well, I mean, so in keeping with the story, he does lose his faculties with his brain, but he maintains all of his martial arts, which I think is necessary to the story, right?
He essentially becomes like a Monkey King kind of character almost. Yeah. Like I could see someone playing the Monkey King like this.
Mm-hmm. He does, because he's got that childish kind of innocence. I guess it doesn't make him mentally disabled, it just makes him very childish, which I guess is a mental disability, because that's how he's playing it as I'm very, very childish.
Yeah, and he just rolls around a lot. It's childish and selfish.
Yeah,
I guess children are selfish, but yeah.
But so the rest of the guys realize what's happened to him, and they're like, oh man, this guy's cool, like he tried to help us and then he got fucked up in the process. Arguably the worst out of all of them. I mean,
yeah, way worse.
Yeah. But they did manage to find that he had a letter from his master. And that's how they all kind of get together to go find his master, Chang Sheng's master.
They feel sorry for him, so they're going to take him back to,
road trip.
And they didn't intend to learn martial arts, did they? They kind of just wanted to return him to his master.
Yeah, they were just like, we can't leave him in this state. He'll die.
Yeah. Did you think, like, they're wheeling people on this giant one-wheeled kind of wagon thing?
A wheelbarrow.
I was kind of looking at it going, is that really a thing? Or did they just go, oh, that looks kind of cool, we'll go with that?
Because you reckon it didn't exist as a real thing?
Yeah. Is it, like, really practical to have, like, one giant wheel on something? Because you can't really carry that much on it, you know? It just felt like an impractical device just for the purposes of...
joke. I have no idea, Mike. No idea at all.
I'd imagine that it would, because for farming and stuff, you need a big wheelbarrow, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but it's like
some point, just put two wheels on it, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm like. Why haven't you got like two wheels or four, even? You know,
I assume because wheels are expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
I suppose.
That's true.
Maybe axles are expensive. I don't know. Get
two small wheels instead of one big one. Yeah.
They didn't have time to make a big one.
Yeah, it just those random things you think when you're looking at stuff. Yeah,
and
during
this bit, we get another interaction with children who throw rocks at them.
Yeah, and then what's his name? Wang Sheng throws the rocks back because he's a kid too.
Yeah,
I thought that was a funny bit, and then all of a sudden, they're coming with their parents. I'm like, what?
Because they're like, we should get the fuck out of here
in the first place, you know?
Those kids should have got their comeuppance. They're lucky they didn't get crippled. Little bitches.
Wow. Yeah. They just pick on cripples. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at this point, we get quite a long montage. Like, there's not much to this film. It's very basic. You get like a little bit of time in between each of these cripplings.
In between cripplings
to get a little bit of an idea about who people are. The fourth guy gets crippled. They take him to the master. The master teaches them martial arts, and then they go back and fuck that guy up on his birthday.
Yeah, like, the master has
that's
said,
the plan.
Yeah, the master's like, I'm going to teach you martial arts so that you can lead normal lives. Not specifically for vengeance, though, I didn't think.
Well, I thought it was funny, like, the one, like, direction he gives them when he's like, and, you know, you can go back and you can fight him, but fight him as a team rather than individually. And don't hurt him too much. And I'm like,
yeah.
As soon as you say that, I'm like... What a waste of a sentence.
But isn't that the point, though, is to make them seem like more righteous that they're not going to do?
Well, I suppose.
Look, if someone blinds me and I become a fucking ninja, I'm taking their eyes.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
It's karma, right? It's karma. It would actually made more sense if they crippled, if they did all of the afflictions back.
Yeah, first.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually would have been more poetic justice.
Yeah, but they're better than him. They're not going to cripple him and then kill him.
Leave him like flopping on the ground at the end.
They do the montage now where they show...
It's long. It's a long montage.
Yeah.
It takes a while.
Well, they've got to show how they develop. They have to overcome each of their disabilities.
I almost want to say it's like 25 minutes running time of this film is this bit, because there's three of them. You've got them building the legless guy's legs, armor legs. You've got the guy learning how to hear and then learning how to use a staff. You've got the other guy doing that weird wheel of fire, punching through the wheel of fire. And you've got him fighting all those bags.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, there's a lot. There's the rings with the blind guy as well.
That to me was just for showing off, right? Like, it was a stage show.
I was kind of like going, oh well, they're not really training the I want to call him the crazy one. Anymore, because I mean he was technically already trained, but you feel like maybe he should get some extra training to overcome because he was nearly good enough.
Well, his martial arts was pretty good already. So, because I thought that the training montage was more to show them each overcoming their own disabilities.
Yeah. It was. And then you also got that bit where the guy with the legs starts just smashing up all the wood, dummies.
He's great. Like, that's Sun Chien, and he's one of the Deadly Venoms, and he's actually a Taekwondo expert, obviously, because his kicks are just crisp and clean and just really, really good form. But yeah, he has to deal with these iron legs from the knees down, which is a secret weapon that he has, I guess, because no one knows that he has iron legs.
But yeah, because they're hidden by clothes. Yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Or and they're thrown off by the fact that his ankles move when he walks. And you're like, yeah.
That's how good his control is. It's like the guy with the iron hands, right? Like he's moving his hands.
Yeah, exactly. He's moving his hands. Like,
yeah, I kept thinking of the man with the iron fist when I was watching this.
Yeah, I thought about that too. That's what I was thinking we'd get at the end of this. I didn't think at the very beginning when he's like, well, I'll give you hands of iron. I thought they were just going to be big, like meaty. But they weren't. They were like all these flexible things. I was like, that's not a disability at that point. That's just robo hands.
Yeah. You know what it did? It actually made me think less of the man with the iron hands, because that seems way more derivative now.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was more original than that, but this is pretty clearly.
Well, that's the thing that, you know, the Wu-Tang Clan and whatever, making the man with iron fists and stuff, because they love Shaw Brothers movies. So they've watched all these movies and, you know, incorporated that into that movie and stuff like that. So they're all built off each other, aren't they, over time?
Yeah.
On which one came first.
Riffs on riffs. Samples on samples.
That's true. And better music in it, probably. The music in this was...
forgettable? I don't remember any of it.
I thought it was a blunt instrument. It was like, oh, this is tension music. You know, like it was insert placeholder music here. It was heavy horns and trumpets and stuff and... It was just very, you're right. It wasn't anything that kind of stood out. It just did its job.
Mm-hmm. I did like the thought process that went into some of the stuff, though, because obviously we've gone through them learning how to overcome their disabilities, and then they're learning slight tricks to use when they're fighting to incorporate, a way to overcome it. So, like, the deaf and mute guy can't hear sounds, so he's got all these shiny mirror kind of thing, so he can see things around him, so people can't sneak up behind him because he can't hear them. And
it's good.
Yeah, those kinds of things going on, which is interesting. And then the bad guys adopt countermeasures to that as well, which is kind of cool as well.
Yeah. So again, the last 30 minutes of this film is a couple of different fight sequences. So they go back to the village after they've like the master says, "Yeah, you're ready to go. You're ready to do it, I think. You could probably take him."
Yeah, but he says you got to watch out and kind of study your opponent first before you...
He tells them how to go about things. So they...
A funny bit, though. Like, as you're saying that, it doesn't seem like they do, because the only two that they don't study are the tiger guys, like two masters. I suppose you could say, you know, obviously the masters have taught their students some of their moves or whatever, but like they fight all of the other mooks around and that's it, and then all of a sudden it's onto villain one and two.
Don't they?
There's one short, small fight.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They get a taste of it. They do get a little bit of it, which might be enough.
Yeah, but they have to contend with the maitre d' guy, because he's got his boss's birthday coming up, and he doesn't want his boss to know anything about it, right? So he wants it taken care of pretty quietly, and it just so happens that guests to the party are renowned martial artists. So he kind of gets three of the top martial artists.
It happens in a couple of different sequences. So the first one is he gets the guy who shoots, and he gets the guy who is silent to help. But isn't there? There's actually a fight. There's a fight. Well, that's what he says. I think someone says something about a light foot technique.
So
I assume that's what he's supposed to be, because they're going to fight the blind guy.
Yeah,
but then there's the deaf guy too, which doesn't help against the deaf guy.
Well, so, they only know that it's the blind guy. See, this is the rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, they fight there first. So there's like three fights here. They fight first, and then he goes, "We'll come back and we'll get the dudes." So they get the dudes, they come back, right? And then they fight again, and they go, "Well, we'll leave again."
Yeah, I do love that. It's like, "Let's go." They just let him out. It's every time they come, they like, "Okay, well, we know there's a deaf guy. Oh, sorry, we know there's a blind guy. We get the Lightfoot guy." And then when they go get the Lightfoot guy as they're fighting, then they've got the deaf guy. And then they go, "Okay, well, we need the guy that shoots now." So then they just keep getting more and more guys to come. And
it is good. Mike says there's like a rock, paper, scissors situation. So they're bringing guys with like symbols. So the blind guy can't use like echolocation to figure out where people are.
Yeah, he's Daredevil.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's good. And then they figure out later on, they figure out that the deaf guy is using mirrors. And so they blind him with mirrors during that other fight sequence, which isn't really how it works, but whatever.
No. I guess if you close your eyes, you're kind of helpless then, aren't you?
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think he's worked his like superior sightseeing skills into like sightseeing. That's a completely different thing. He likes to travel the world. No, but you know, I don't think he's made his sight extra special. You know, I don't think it's echolocation level of sight.
Yeah, he's not seeing through objects or anything.
No.
Yeah. What I find kind of not funny, but kind of bizarre, is that they keep the kick guy, Sun Chen, they keep him in the background. He's not really involved.
Because he's like their hidden, their special weapon, their hidden technique.
Ace up the sleeve.
Yeah, because they don't know about him. Because no one sees him until the very end. The one guy that does see him gets a fucking foot to the chest.
That was pretty cool, though. I did like that.
I like that guy in general. I thought it was pretty cool.
The muscle guy?
Yeah. Yeah, he had kind of like an iron shirt thing going on, where he's just like, "You can punch me all you like. It's not doing nothing."
And he's fucking huge, though. That guy was like a man mountain.
He was tall and big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 78, he was pretty big.
He's pretty jacked, yeah. And I thought he was, he looked cool. He is a guest, but he was also Chan Kwan Tai's old schoolmate. So he's at the same kind of level, I guess. Mm-hmm. So he's a high level martial artist. And he kind of gets wrapped up in it, because these guys are trying to take care of the, I'll call them the Venoms, but he's trying to take care of the Cripple Avengers quietly. And this guy goes, "Oh, that sounds like fun. I'll kind of rock up and see how you go."
Yeah, what do they say? He's like the younger, he's the junior, he's the master. So there's the master. He's from the same school, but he's like the last disciple of his master.
Yeah, the same master, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like the youngest one. So he's like younger brother, I guess.
And he shows off his skill, because I think the maitre d' guy fights him with a ball and chain.
Yeah, he does. He just busts that chain. He's like,
he breaks it, and he's like, "Yeah, that was good." And when he's fighting the crippled Avengers, he's kind of like, "I'll tell you what, you guys can have three cracks at me, and then I get three cracks at you." So three cracks is in three fists and three kicks each, so six attacks. And
and he takes him, and they're actually all like, "Oh shit, we're gonna get our asses beat."
Who's the first guy? Was the first guy the blind guy, or was it the
deaf guy? The deaf guy.
Yeah. Deaf guy. Lomang.
He's the muscly dude, right? So he's going like, "Yeah, I'll fucking take him."
And he's arrogant as anything, right? Because he has all of these mugging movements, like these looks. He does a Bruce Lee kind of eyes up, and and all that shit. And he thinks that he can take this guy. But no, three punches in, he's just like... And he does do a Looney Tunes kind of double take of, what?
He does the other Looney Tunes thing as well. Or actually more of a Popeye thing where he spins his arm around a few times.
Oh,
he does,
does
the windmill.
Yeah, that's right. And it doesn't do anything.
No, obviously.
Yeah.
I might add at this point, though, we keep calling him like the deaf guy and the blind guy. They don't give these characters any names at any point.
No,
it's
they
just
do.
Like, it's just like he's a blacksmith and he's a hawker.
They definitely do.
Well, the blacksmith guy is Mr. Way.
But really?
Yeah, he's called. He's referred to as Mr. Way very early on, but he's also commonly referred to as the blacksmith. And the guy who is the what is he? The salesman. He's referred to as a hawker. He's the hawker because these guys are like cripples. Nobody cares about them. Yeah.
And the other guy's called Wang something, I think.
Wang Sheng.
The sword dude that's crazy was like, yeah, had a name. But I was going through it going, I can't remember.
Yeah, the thing is, Michael, I don't remember any names, any movies that we watch.
Well, true.
They're always just who they are in the movie.
But even like the movie that they're best known for being the Deadly Venoms, nobody remembers their actual names. Everyone remembers them as Toad or, Scorpion. So, it's... they're forgettable names, I think, but they're more memorable in what they do, I guess. And does anyone, the guy, Philip Kwok, I think his name is, who plays the blind guy, is he cross-eyed or is he doing that because he's blind?
I think he's just doing it because he's doing a bit.
Yeah.
I don't think he's like that all the time.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's... I reckon he's probably just got a lazy eye or something and he plays it up just for the bit.
He's done a good job because it's not full cross-eyed. It's not comedically cross-eyed.
Yeah.
It's just, it's cross-eyed enough that you're like, oh, okay, maybe his eyes don't work well.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of fights in here. All of them are pretty good. Like, they're not great. None of them are amazing. But for 78, they're not bad.
It's a lot of, I mean, the difficulty, I think, is especially the ones in the inn where it's one, two, or three guys against essentially what, like a dozen, two dozen?
Yeah.
It's very complex and they do a good job of kind of pacing it out.
There are some bits in here I just wanted to point out though. There's a bit where one of them grabs a table and swings it around and it's obviously on a wire and it looks ridiculous and I loved it.
I did think that and I didn't think it was as obvious as anything, but he did swing that table around very easily.
But it also it doesn't look like they're not holding that weight up. It looks very funny, unless it's like a balsa wood table, but I doubt it.
I like juxtapose that one to the one in the final fight scene with the big boss, and they flip over a table there, and it's one of the tables he lands on. He had landed on in the scene like immediately before that, and you could almost see the weight in that table, and it kind of gave me like, oh, that's like a proper table that they've just moved on the set. So like not all of them are fake. Some of them have a bit more, weight. Obviously, to take the move before when he lands on it with his full weight and that kind of thing.
Prop tables.
Yeah. There was that. There was also, in that fight sequence, there's also the bit where, there's the guy with the double hands, the double-handed knives. I think he's also the guy with the bolt, like who shoots the ball bearings.
Oh, that's true. Yes, it is.
That's a good, that knife fight's real good too.
It is really good and intricate.
Versus the pole.
Yeah.
That would have taken a while. I assume it was choreographed because I don't think they would have been doing that freeform.
But all of it looks choreographed to hell, man. All of it looks like essentially sets.
But it was so long.
Yeah, I know. That's how good a good set is. It's pretty long.
Yeah, it's a long ass set.
It reminds me of watching those the Wuxia tournaments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when they actually do presentation. Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of quite a bit.
Yeah. And they do, like, attempt to do different shots. Like, there's an attempt at an overhead shot and some other different things. They're not really great at it because they obviously only have, like, really short cuts in and out. There's some sure scope at different points in it as well. And just, I don't know if it was a print or whatever, but just... top and the bottom tend to fade in and out of focus occasionally as well, just as we're going through the whole movie.
Yeah. I wanted to go back a bit to, I think it's Master Law Bo, who is the big muscly guy. Mm-hmm. And when they do the, I'll take three hits and then I'll give you three hits, right? two of the Venoms, the blind guy and the deaf guy, they do the three punches and three kicks to no effect. And he's about to fuck them up. And you can tell that he's probably just going to kill them. But then it's the third brother with the iron legs that comes in and goes, oh, we're all brothers. You know, I'll get my three punches and kicks as well, if that's okay. And the guy's like, yeah, okay. And then Wang Sheng's obviously, he's a bit, you know, he's just going, oh, watch out for his iron leg technique or his iron legs. And that's when the other brothers are like, oh, yeah, yeah, the iron leg technique, just like my iron fist and that, to kind of cover it up, right?
Yeah.
But then when he, and I thought maybe this guy is strong enough to take this iron foot, you know, like this guy.
I was thinking that
strong.
Too. I was going, he's just going to laugh this off.
No, those are essentially got blades at the front of them.
Yeah, they're sharp, aren't they? Because he kicks right through the guy's chest, essentially, yeah. Or his stomach.
I like how he tries to put his organs back in.
Oh my God, the intestines coming out of his stomach.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great.
Fucking brutal.
Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. He tucks his intestines into his pants, I think.
Yeah,
he does. And I did like the fact that he like stumbles forward and then dies leaning
holding
on the table.
upright yeah. Next to the table. Yeah, badass.
Oh man, that was way gorier than I expected it.
Because technically they're right. Like he's right. They didn't. The thing was they needed to knock him over. They didn't knock him over.
Oh, that's a good point. So
they didn't lose.
They didn't win. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. That's true. Have a think about that for a second.
Yeah, I did. The other thing that was just kind of stupid in here, like after he'd kind of beat up the blind guy with the pole, he kind of bent his pole into a circle.
And then
they straightened it back up and it's like perfectly straight. You're like, yeah, nah, I don't think it works like that. But yeah.
Nah, they're the cripple Avengers. They can do anything.
They're magic.
Yeah. Well, they must be.
Yeah.
To have survived so long.
So there's that fight and then they kill that dude. The bad guys come back, but the guy with the legs is already gone. Like, so he's still
hiding. So nobody knows he exists at this point,
no,
right?
No, no one knows he's with them. And then the party has to happen. I do love the fact that there's all this like party chatter and no one wants to interrupt the party and the party's really important and everything's it's so funny. I don't know why, but I found it very funny. Like, ooh, this party's very important.
Yeah, I was keeping up appearances, right? I actually thought they were going to fuck up his party.
Yeah, that's what I thought the plan was going to be. But yeah, no, they were like respectful to some extent.
I was going to say, like, what better way to goad him into a fight than to just go and fucking mess his party up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even get some food. But yeah, so
yeah,
they've killed all of the special martial artists at this point. Oh wait, no, they've got to fight the guy with the knives, right? He's the
he's in the fight with the ball and chain guy. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
very end, as they go through the bad guy's house.
Yeah, because the blacksmith ends up fighting, like, I don't know, Silent Foot or whatever the guy's name is.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good fight because they're kind of in
the street kind of thing because he was all angry and stormed off.
Yeah, they find him at the old blacksmith shop.
That's right, yeah. And they have a good fight with, I think, Silent Foot uses the hammer. But then the blacksmith finishes them off with, what is it, a pair of shears?
I think they're the things that, he gets stuff out of the iron works with.
Yeah.
They're like calipers or something, but they're sharp at the end a little bit.
Because he stabs him in the stomach.
Yeah.
Kind of felt to me like he was like, I'm going to take out a rib.
Well, because, he cuts something inside, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Gives him like a vasectomy or something. Take that.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, as soon as you get to this bit, as soon as you get past that montage, it's fights.
It is. It's a long, long fight at the end.
But it's made up. This bit is like this bit here. They have the bit at the restaurant hotel. Then they have another one at the hotel. Then they have this fight. Then they have the other fight at the very, very end, which goes really long. So this whole bit is just full fights. It's worth watching just for the fights, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, the last fight is in the compound, in Chan Kwan Tai's compound. And it's broken up into two parts, right? The first part is them fighting the maitre d' and the ball-bearing shooter guy. And then once they've defeated those guys, then they fight
the son and the son and the bunch of mooks and the dad, but they don't really fight the dad yet. That's sort of off to the side. The blind guy's just keeping him busy, or the other way around. The deaf guy's just keeping him busy.
Now, the difficulty they face when they go into the compound is they're prepared for him. So they've got all of these big, massive taiko drums and what are, oh, and mirrors.
Mirrors.
Yeah, to blind the deaf guy and the drums to deafen the blind guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's working. It's effective. But obviously the crippled Avengers, they each take turn to disrupt the other's weaknesses, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, they do. So
I think the crazy one jumps in first and
starts knocking over the...
Starts knocking the drums over a little bit, and that kind of creates the third distraction that allows them to then, you know, take out the other's weakness, yeah.
Yeah, then the deaf guy starts smashing up the drums on the other side, and then they get rid of the mirrors, and then the swordsman grabs the frames around all the mirrors, which are... thankfully, the same size as the hula hoops from earlier.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Exactly. How convenient. Yes. That's true. And, I mean, the fight here is very well choreographed in terms of the backwards and forwards. And it's interposed by the crazy guy taking out all the underlings and basically knocking them into the drums and beating them up just by doing flips and sort of acrobatics. And
yeah, it's lots of cool tumbling.
Yeah,
he does the Wang Sheng, the crazy guy. He's more of a supporting character here, isn't he? He's not really engaged in any particular combat. The other guys,
no, he's just around. He's just around every now and then, like giving a hand or being annoying,
doing what he wants. Yeah, essentially.
Yeah,
and
that's the other thing. I just want to bring this up right now. He is annoying as hell to the blacksmith.
Yes,
the deaf guy. Yes. The deaf guy hates his motherfucking ass.
Yeah. Because he's always mugging at him. He's like, oh, I'm going to punch you. I'm so going to punch you. Because he's always getting in his way.
Yeah.
But Lemang is angry at everybody. Lemang annoys him. Yeah. Except for the blind guy. He seems to love the blind guy.
Well, he says at one point to the blind guy, I don't know if it's in the subtitles, but in the dubbing, he's like, you're the only one who doesn't beat me.
Yeah. Oh, I get, they're always holding hands, right? Oh, you know, you're talking about Wang Sheng.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because everyone else hates his guts. He's just really annoying. But also, I mean, like, he did go to avenge them, so I guess you can't be too angry.
No. Before the accident, before the injury, he was a good dude.
Yeah.
Still is a good dude, technically, I guess.
Well, I mean, he saves the day, essentially. Yeah.
Well, no, the guy with the legs saves the day.
Yeah, that's true. He comes in at the end. But, you know, Wang Sheng... He's there.
Yeah, I love the fact that they just kept that up. The secret technique in this situation is kick him with your legs.
Yeah, no, it's iron legs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, secret iron legs.
So the final fight between Big Boss and his son and the two crippled Avengers kind of starts, and this is as we were saying earlier, they, you know, forecast the special moves that the son's hands can do. So this is the only time we see him try and use them in a fight after he's getting sort of the 2-on-1
attack. Yeah, because he's fighting Wang Sheng, and who's the other guy that he's fighting? It's the
crazy guy.
Wang Sheng's the crazy guy, but
it's the blind guy.
The blind guy.
Because they do the rings that they did earlier.
Oh, they need to do the rings.
And technically, it was the blind guy got blinded by the sun sticking his hand, so it's kind of like revenge off, and the blacksmith is versus the main boss guy who's the guy that made him deaf and made him drink the stuff, so it's kind of balanced out that way.
Yeah, because they end up killing the sun using two of the rings, right?
Yeah, they strangle him from both different directions. They pull in different directions.
Yeah, that's right, but not before he's able to shoot darts at Wang Sheng, the crazy guy. And also stab him with his extendable hands.
That's right. And he's like, I don't feel good. I'm going to die now.
He's like Ralph from The Simpsons.
Exactly.
I'm in danger. a little bit like that. He even tastes his own blood. He's like, oh, what's this?
Yeah.
I'm in a lot of pain and I'm dying.
And then he dies.
And then the other three kill the dad.
All three. This is actually the worst fight in the film, I thought.
It's not good. It's not well shot. It's kind of boring.
They kind of drift in and
but
out.
But it is quick. It is quick, though. I'll give them that.
They kind of interpose the first part of it with the other fight. So Blacksmith fighting him by himself, and it's just going, like, moving around. And that's all it was, like, hit to move. And it was really boring. And then they tried to do different angles on it to, I don't know, try and make it interesting. And it, I mean, it is well sort of choreographed, but it was just like dancing. It was just pure dancing to me.
Yeah.
And the moves. And then when they get to the 3-on-1 section, that bit's even worse because they're doing, you know, everyone's holding for their turn kind of thing. And it didn't use the 3-versus-1 very well.
No.
And then, yeah, the final move that they do, it's the one time when they loop the flying, like the blind guy kicks off the wall and does a flip. And they loop it so it's like a double flip, and then he catches onto a beam at the top, and then he reaches down and grabs the tiger guy's arm and holds it there.
Yeah.
And then Blacksmith guy grapples and grabs his leg, so they're holding one from the top, one from the bottom, holding him there, and then kick guy comes and gives him
kicks him in the chest
to defeat
him. I thought it'd be a bit more spectacular than what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the
actual I was hoping for some explosive blood splatter, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was wanting as well.
Or kicking his head off or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the, like, Law Bow, he had his guts come out. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I thought there would have been something more.
It was only, like, the blood dribbled down the chin kind of thing to know that he'd had internal injuries, effectively.
Yeah. That was anticlimactic fight.
And instead of the freeze frame, we get
No freeze frame.
What we get instead is very weird. We get the three dudes just walking out. They don't even grab their dead bro.
Yeah.
And they made a point earlier that they were cool dudes and they let the bad guys take away the body of the big dude. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they're like,
yeah.
We're like, we're cool dudes. We're magnanimous. You should take your bro. He fought well. But in this case, they're like, nah, fuck that guy. Leave him behind.
Maybe they couldn't find him. They couldn't find him.
He was in there. He was right there. He was right next to the other dead guy.
They had to walk past his body to get out. It's on the way. Yeah.
And that's the end of Crippled Avengers.
Yes.
Avenger, yeah.
And it actually says, the end.
It does.
The end of the Crippled Avengers. With nothing, no freeze frame and nothing.
Nothing, just a black screen after they walk out of the place.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Kinoscope.
I actually thought it was, I mean, spoilers, I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed my time watching it.
I enjoyed the beginning. I thought it was crazy. Like, when it opened and in the first 5 minutes, they cut that woman's legs off and that dude's, the kid's hands off. I was like, oh my God. I was like, yeah, I'm in. And then it got a little boring. But then the last 40 minutes were pretty fun.
Yeah. There was enough going on that it kind of kept my attention the whole
time. And it wasn't long. It didn't feel long.
It was only an hour 40, I think.
It moved.
I kind of stopped it a couple times and came back to it a little bit in the middle just because, it did get a little bit monotonous. And as I said, it was kind of...
But I kept waiting for the next person to get crippled, Michael.
Yeah, I did feel that way. And as I say, right at the beginning, it was interesting. And then it just in that boring bit, I'm going, this montage is going to go on forever. So, and then the montage did go on a bit.
And some of them were much better than others.
Yeah.
Like, the rings was fun to watch. You know what wasn't fun to watch? The sandbags.
Yes. Yeah, because they sped that up and it just took forever.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah. I thought, you know what? Normally we'd go through the shit stunt. I don't know if you guys picked up any shit stunts.
I saw one of the bad, like the moot bad guys get like sort of thrown on something. And I thought, but I can't actually point out in my mind in which fight sequence it happened. So... I just remember seeing one guy land funny and I was like, that looks painful.
Yeah. I thought Law Bow getting smashed with all those tables. I mean, I'm sure they were already pretty broken, but just walking through smashed tables with your shirt off, that would be shit. People smashing tables on you.
I did like the ring aerobatic sort of montage where he's like Wang Yu's doing all the flips through all of them, and at one point the blind guy kind of puts two hoops halfway apart and kind of traps him, like ass has an error at the rest of him. So he's kind of caught in there. I was like, that would kind of hurt, You kind of stuck in that kind of way.
Did he punch him in?
Yeah.
Didn't he punch him in the ass or something to get
he
him
did,
out?
He did. That's how he got him out. He's like, yeah. Kicks him out kind of thing. I was like, yeah, that would hurt just being stuck in those hoops, I reckon.
I think that would be fun to do. I wish I was acrobatic enough to do it. Not like that, but like, you know, the bit where they've both got the ring and they're sort of using their own like momentum to fling each other.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was cool.
I'd like that. That would be a great thing to be able to do with someone, but you have to find someone with kind of the same amount of weight as you.
Yeah.
And the same athleticism, so they don't overpower you too much. You need to be in synchronicity to get that right, I think.
I assume these guys have trained together for ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like me and you, Sam, couldn't do it. I would jump and I would just pull you straight to the ground.
Yeah, well, that's because we haven't trained together for ages. I'm sure we could if we trained together. We'd be like, you know, a circus troupe.
Slight weight differential, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I was going to say, instead of doing a do this at home, is there a particular, how would you be crippled? And how would you overcome your crippleness?
Freaking lasers.
Freaking lasers. I would get my junk ripped off. That's how I'd be crippled. And how so I would
all your
fight
kung
that.
Fu would be lost. Would
hey?
You? All your kung fu would be lost.
My
it?
Kung fu would be lost, but then I would need to fix up my crippleness by getting like a metal dildo that was extendable. And I would use metal dildo technique. That's how I would...
Right now, I need new lungs because I can't stop coughing.
That's how you get crippled. Your lungs get fucked up.
Your lungs are crippled.
My lungs get fucked up. I breathe in, I inhale some terrible smoke and it kills my lungs.
Passive smoking. Yeah.
And in order to repair it, I get essentially balloons installed in my chest.
Oh shit, you could hold your breath like for ages.
Then I can hold my breath forever.
You could be underwater.
Yeah.
You could probably even blow people away.
Yeah, ninja skill. That's what it is, 100%.
Oh, that's a good ninja skill. That's a good
one. I love that, like, really ironic way that you lost your lungs, though. Passive smoke. I went to the bar and fucked everyone up for smoking and smashed the ashtrays. I don't know. I can't think of like a wound that I would like to have.
That you would, not that you would
I don't
like
think,
to
I don't think Sam wants to get his dick ripped off.
No.
No, well, not in that sense, but I was thinking, like, I was going, oh, yeah, and I'm like, oh, but they've already done that. And then I'm like, everyone did the legs, and then the eyes, I'm like,
you know what, you know what you need, Michael?
I think I'd hate the worst.
You know what you really need, honestly? New spine.
New spine.
Oh, you get spine ripped out. Oh, shit. That would be crippling.
Well, yeah, geez.
But what would the fix be? What would your kung fu replacement be?
Wings. So I can fly.
Wings,
wings, bat wings or something, and I can drop some bombs down on people and shit, because then I don't need to walk because I can fly, bitches.
Yeah, I can imagine that. They're just like, oh, we should never have ripped out his spine. Now he's flying.
Now he has the ability, now he has the advantage of being airborne.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
Oh, man.
We should make our own Crippled Avenger film. That's amazing.
I don't think you can get away with that now.
No. Well, it'd be Disabled Avengers. We'd be politically correct.
God.
Yeah. I mean, you could do it if you were of that, you know, you could do it yourself if you were a cripple. If you were disabled, I think you could do it as an empowerment thing.
Yeah, okay, but I mean, that's why
we can't do it.
Because you would just totally get, you know, the disability champions going, you don't have real disabled people in your movie. They're just people like proper actors pretending. You have to have the real thing, and you're like, ah, oh, but man, how hard would it be to train someone that actually has a disability to, you know, do kung fu and shit? I don't know.
And yeah, nowadays, well, Michael, you just do it with CG.
It's not a cure. It's not a cure.
CG's a cure for all bad fight sequences, Michael. Well, true. Marvel movies have taught us this.
And explosions. Explosions. And abs. Abs will distract you from anything.
Yeah. That guy's got no arms, but have you seen his 12-pack?
Watch the dollars roll in. Watch them. But all yes. Right. That was The Crippled Avenger. So, look, you'll probably listen to this podcast soon, but if you did listen to it, if you liked the film, if you had any comments or criticisms, please get in touch. Asian Action Cast, Gmail, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can check us where all good podcasts are found, mostly on Spotify. But yes, until next time, we'll catch you next time we watch a Hong Kong and Asian martial arts action film.
Thanks, bye. Guys.
Thanks, cool. Bye.
Bye.
Your hands. I've no hands. You've no eyes. We're even. I have eyes. I...